Hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and the ghosts and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, the captain of speed dating of the paranormal, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Can you hear me? Can you see me, Bob?
I can hear you. I can see you.
Chuck's telling me I got to put myself down, but you know what? I like to run a little hot because it's Bob After Dark. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday.
It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday. Ready wake up, everybody. Yeah. Oh, Count Panic.
That voice could wake the dead.
Oh. We're going to get to the guests in a second here. This is the time we bond with the audience.
This is going to be a good episode, guys.
By the way, Heather, I see a couple people in the chats already, in the YouTube chats.
You're monitoring that, I'm not.
You can watch us on the WJLB YouTube page, Heather. And Windstorm1 says, yo back.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Bob After Dark. We are your show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. And we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, and all of that good jazz. But, of course, we don't start the show without the Count Panic's weekend update.
I don't think we even did that last. Well, we had a lifetime.
We had like a lifetime update last week.
You know, it was a weekend. It was a busy weekend because, you know, as we got a man there on the end of the table, you'll introduce here in a second. I'll introduce here in a second.
We have two guests.
Was busy getting the work.
One guest
done,
and one intruder.
But just work, Bob. You know, vampires do work from time to time.
Making towns?
Making towns. Didn't go anywhere, Bob. How about you? How was your weekend?
Bob, busy.
Busy.
What did I... Oh, Sunday I was at the Extra Life Gaming Convention. Bob After Dark had an appearance there. We had a table set up in Ravenswood in Chicago, the North End. So hello everybody that I met through the convention scene that's tuning into the episode for the first time. So it's nice to see all of your beautiful faces. And it's a pleasure to have all of you guys.
And for the people that are watching on YouTube, you notice last week was kind of our second season debut there, Bob. And you know, we started off in there with Casey into the old studio. Now they built this studio.
This is such a nice improvement. I am not that the old room wasn't an improvement, but I think I even like this better than the old studio itself. Like, I have no glass between me
and
you.
That's true. You can jump right over.
You can throw stuff at him.
And my cadence is no longer weird, right?
Your cadence?
Because normally, give you guys an idea, my desk would be right front and center of one camera, and then Count would be on the other side of the room behind glass, traditional producer, you know, producer sort of a thing. There is no glass now, so it's me and Count. It's more intimate, if you will.
And I like the t-shirt, by the way, there,
well,
Bob.
Thank you. I got it off some guy.
There you go. But the man responsible, one of the men responsible for improving the studio is sitting right next to you there.
Yes, and I am. You always introduce the guests. We have two of them.
Let me introduce here. We got a couple guests here. A surprise guest as well on the end there. First up, we have Chuck Pullen. Of course, you could hear him regularly on WJLBD's airwaves.
Not that you want to, but you could.
Of course, too.
The winter, what's it called now? The winter?
Well, it's called Chuck Space Disco because we can't spell anything right
Chuck
on the
Space
graphics.
Disco.
So it becomes Chuck Space Disco Mondays on WJLB.
It's bright and early at 6 a.m.
With my co-host, Bob Before Dark. Bob Starkey, who helped us build the studio over the weekend.
Oh, there's a Bob Before Dark now.
Before Dark, yes.
So there's a Bob Before Dark, and now there's a Bob After Dark.
Yeah, he should name his show Bob Before Dark.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a crossover we need to see soon.
Is there any crossover between me and other Bob? Does he talk about the paranormal?
You could just come in on Friday and go, they got the wrong Bob.
April Fool's Day.
Right, there you go.
Meet at dark.
There you go.
Bob's at dark.
Yeah, Evil Bob.
Bob at Dusk.
Which one's evil? We'll let the crowd decide.
Absolutely.
Also joining Chuck there on the end, you know, an invited guest. We didn't know if he was going to show up. You know, he's got a busy schedule. He's making the rounds. Luke Miller with two eyes.
Two eyes.
M-I-I-L-L-E-R.
Paranormal expert as well. Here to lend my expertise to the subject.
Self-proclaimed.
I don't know if you noticed, Bob. Luke took that vampire class. Remember we had those professors?
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm. So he knows, if you got a question about vampires, Luke might be able to answer.
Too bad we're not talking about vampires this week.
Come back next week.
Oh, dang it. I thought that was the topic today. Dang it.
Yeah, I know. I walked in the studio. Somebody answered. I saw three cars. I'm like, why is there three cars in the parking lot?
Out.
And then Luke answered the door. I'm like, well, what are you doing here? Are you doing shots of hot sauce during the show, by the way?
No, I don't know. You know what this is from?
Well, don't be showing the label. Can't show the label.
And just hot sauce.
It's
Region hot sauce.
It's local.
Okay. Yeah.
So Region hot sauce, wherever you buy your hot sauces.
You could be sponsoring Bob After Dark Region Hot Sauce.
You could. Yeah.
I won't be eating it, but Count Panic will be happy.
Maybe they make a mild sauce, Bob.
I would need, like, extra mild. Okay. I have the what they call the Polish tongue. I don't do the spicy things.
Maybe like a cold sauce.
your hot sauce is mayonnaise, is what you're saying.
I was going to say, it's marinara, you see. All right, so Count, did you know if this is your first time watching Bob After Dark?
For some, yes.
This is your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite 1990s carnival toy that you would win. And I have a reason for bringing this up.
Favorite 1990s carnival toy?
You know what I mean? Like, you're at the carnival.
How about a goldfish?
That's a good answer.
It's not a toy, but it's a
toy.
I won a goldfish before.
You did win a goldfish.
It lasted a while. A couple
but
of them. They lasted
do you remember, in the 90s, the carnivals had the iridescent alien-like necklaces you could win and the giant stuffed aliens? Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about this week.
That's a good tie-in.
I finally get to do it. The aliens...
The aliens thing.
Yeah, when we got to meet Giorgio from Ancient Aliens back last May. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. We interviewed him for Bob After Dark.
Think about it. His career is based on aliens.
His career is literally based on aliens. Mine is not aliens. Uh-oh, we already got the quote finger quotes going on here. And we're not even 5 minutes into the show yet.
Wow. We got the trigger ready to go, if need be.
The bleep.
Chuck's here. I can't imagine the people are going to call in tonight.
We're just going to put a big black box on the middle of the screen.
That's one thing I got to bring up here, too. So the phone lines, we think they're going to work here tonight. I got to keep looking back, though. Because the only complaint about the studio, they should have maybe put this TV up there.
That's what we were going to put over here. That's what we were working on. But we'll get it for next week.
Because Adrian.
Now, we don't know if there's anybody calling either. So that's so we'll get that going.
Okay. But I'm going to keep an eye on it here.
We're making a list.
I'll have to sit like this, I think.
But you can call in 219-845-1100 at any point throughout the show because this is a special show. Usually we split the show up into two parts where we talk about the weird, spooky news.
Oh, wait. Now it says show session ended, so let me see if I can get us back on here.
Are we offline?
No, I'll reboot it.
And also I was going to mention you're in the squeaky chair, so you'll hear him just back and forth.
Well, that's working.
I'm going to love to edit that out later, that squeak back and forth. It's gonna be lovely. And by the way, when I mean I'm gonna edit it out, I am not editing out the squeak because it's just gonna be something I can't do. But we'll definitely give it a shot.
We'll
figure
it out.
Count will have to scooch very gently.
Okay, so now I think got the phone lines up and running. 219-845-1100 if you want to call in. 219-845-1100.
All right, so let's introduce our guests real quick. I know you introduced him, but let's get to know our guests a little bit here. All right. Let's start with Chuck. Chuck, who are you? You've been on the show before as like a local historian and paranormal enthusiast, but you're here on a whole different level tonight.
Yeah, I stop in from time to time. From time to time.
Yes.
I am, a local expert on all things that I've decided I'm an expert on. But this is actually one of my things that I really am an expert on, and we'll get into that later. But this is something I've been dying to get you to talk about for a long time, because I think it's an interesting crossover between my morning show and your After Dark show.
Yes. We have a caller already.
Yeah, before we get to Luke, let's take this phone call to see if it works.
Yes. Caller, you're on the air?
I'm curious. Let's try it. Hit talk.
Did you turn him up on the board?
Hey, caller. Yep, they're on the board. Hey, caller.
So close.
So close. Try again, guys. 219-845-1.
How does he do this? How does he do this?
I don't know.
You should have had me guess from over there.
Let me drop him.
Are you dropping yourself? You realize that you're in the queue.
I hit drop.
But I'm saying the first person in there is you. You realize that, right?
Let's try this here.
So there's one person in there that's you, okay?
Yeah.
That's you. Don't hang up on you.
Don't drop yourself.
Don't drop myself. All right, let me delete that. Okay, I'm in here.
And the phones are up over here on the board.
Yeah, they're up on the board here.
Happy, so we'll see. Happy Tuesday night, everybody. Bob After Dark, technical difficulty.
The witching hour already.
I miss the old phone lines, you know that?
They'll be back soon.
You sure?
These new ones cost $4.99 a minute. We'll be back to the old ones soon.
The bill's already at $17.90 just for tonight. So far.
All right, Luke, tell us a little bit about yourself while Count figures out why we lost a caller.
Mm-hmm, yep, I'm based here in Hammond as well. And actually, to be serious, why I'm on here is that I have an irrational fear, or formerly did, of aliens. Mm-hmm. I mean, from playing Fallout 4, they had a lot of aliens in there, and I had one freak encounter where there was like a mass of them. So like 5 or 6 years, I was irrationally afraid.
I was hoping you were going to say clowns, because I'm wearing my Killer Clowns I'm out of Space shirt.
Mm-mm. Yes.
So this is more of overcoming fears than anything.
We're breaking barriers here is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a – let's see if this works.
Oh, we have a caller again.
Hey, caller.
How does he do this?
I don't think it's going to work tonight, folks. But
okay. It will work. It's been working for weeks.
I think I just got to re-sign into this thing like I did last week, so I'm going to do that.
I'm going to take a look over his shoulder.
Do you know how to do it? No, how about I go? Okay, go ahead.
All right.
I will sit here and look at the camera and tell you guys. So usually we split the show up and we give you the weird, spooky news of the week, and then the second part's the lore of the week. But we have a very special episode this week, and that is because the shot heard around the world earlier this month that we couldn't cover last week because we had a guest was two lines in a lightning dialogue between former President Barack Obama and a podcaster by the name of Brian Tyler Cohen. I don't have permission to use the clip, so I'm gonna reenact it the best way I can.
Do you want to do him and I'll do the president?
Yes, that'd be great. Are aliens real?
Well, I don't have the script, though.
Okay.
Is it on your thing? Here, hang on.
Hold on.
I was like, I thought I remember what he said, but I don't want to misquote him.
There we go. So Barack Obama says, and I quote in return, they're real.
So you said, are they real?
Are aliens real?
They are real, but I haven't seen them.
Oh, and instead of pressing on the question, we just kind of scoffed over it. And it was the shot heard around the world to one group of people, and the rest of the people just didn't seem to either notice and or care that Barack Obama, former president of the United States, said aliens are real.
No, but here's the thing, though. This is not news. I was watching an old clip of him on Jimmy Kimmel years ago. This is something he said repeatedly. So I don't know. It's nice that it's making the rounds, but this is something he's talked about quite a bit, as have most other presidents in recent history. And that's what we're going to get into later tonight.
Exactly, including the current president's even brought it up in interest now with declassification, but we'll get to that. Count, how's it looking back there?
Not great, but we're going to figure this out here.
All right, Luke, do you want to tap in over here?
We're up to $35 for Jed's phone line right now. Let's see.
He's going to call us in the middle of the show and go, who's using my credit card?
This show might be the last show.
This is the last. This season 2, episode 2, everybody.
All right, wait. Now we're going to go back in the host show mode. So let's see. Let's try this. Let's take some calls here. Let's talk.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. Hello. Nothing on that person. Let me try this other one. Let's drop that one. It might be just a bad line with that person, so let me drop that.
It's VoIP. There is no such thing as a bad line.
So let me talk with this one. Let's
Bob After Dark is not sponsored.
Hey, caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Chuck, please go safe.
Okay.
Yeah, none of this works here. Chuck, you want to come over here?
5 seconds later. Oh, it works now. Okay, I'm going to go unplug myself.
All right,
you,
please do.
Talk amongst yourself.
Okay, absolutely. So shot heard around the world just recently, and then as of just a couple weeks ago, or last week, former President Barack Obama has backtracked and said not that the aliens were real, because he was answering in the fashion of the lightning round questions. There was no follow-up, but if I was in the... if I was in the situation and I was the interviewee, I think I would have stopped everything I was doing and been like, excuse me. But the description that former President Barack Obama used in the thing was, their aliens aren't being kept in the Area 51. There's no, and if there was aliens being kept at Area 51, then that would mean that it would be the biggest conspiracy because they even kept it away from the President of the United States. Fast forward, not much longer after that, current President Donald Trump came out and said, Barack Obama is talking on, and I quote, classified information, and I quote, he shouldn't be doing that. And he said the follow-up afterwards was the concept that, that he was going to release all declassified information on aliens, UFOs, UAPs, and the like. So we're officially in the Wild West on the concept of this these aliens discussion and everything else. So what's your take on that, Luke, as we're currently dealing with the technical difficulties?
Well, I've got to tell you, at first, this isn't the first time even with Trump discussing the aliens and trying to release files, right? Because I feel like before he has already discussed this, saying that, you know, I'm going to try to have complete transparency, and this isn't talking about other files, this is talking about aliens. And I know that even before him, in 2022, there was a hearing for the first time in 50 years with the House of Representatives talking about UFOs. And then in 2024, they released a report saying, oh, there's no conclusive evidence that the U.S. had any direct evidence. So I'm a skeptic, to put it bluntly. I don't know if there is information, if the government would be willing to reveal that.
I don't think they have a choice now but to reveal what they have. I mean, it'll probably come out heavily redacted, but in the very least, we'll have something.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, even if they do reveal something, right, like a Freedom of Information Act, right, how much can they reveal? How much do you think they'll reveal?
I don't know. If you think about it from throughout time on what the government knows and has said about aliens from the past 50 years up till now, even the past probably 100 up till now, they've escaped around the question very hard. And, you know, there's only so many weather balloons up in the atmosphere before you start. Which, as a skeptic, I got to ask you, how are you still a skeptic despite all of this information coming out, including former President Barack Obama saying they're real?
Well, I'm not skeptical that there's aliens and that there's studies and there's been work being done.
My apologies, folks. I got you.
A skeptic that any information proving such will be released. I think that if it's been kept under wraps for this long, that why would they release it now just because people want them to? People wanted transparency on this for a very long time.
And I think transparency is very important. Sorry, folks, you're hearing our robot producer in the background trying to get us reconnected.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. Yeah, I know, right? I had...
It's speech jamming.
Welcome, host. You are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the call-in studio web.
I was listening to this last week and I was like, oh my gosh, it was just funny. It's
you know, I sat through last week. I sat through and tried to edit the episode.
It's tough.
I went through. I looked at it and I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to edit any of this out because it's not possible. I had like a 15 minute edit I had to do at the beginning of the show to like fix the way that the queue worked. And then I started listening to the phone line issues and I'm like, you know what? No, it's not important. It's important, but people know what they're getting into. They listen to the show.
It's part of the heart and ethos of this show. You have to take the rough with the beautiful.
Yes. So, what do you think we're going to be getting out of these new, really updated files from the government?
Let's try
what
this.
Hello,
can you hear us? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
I hear the voice.
Oh, caller, you're on the air. Loud. Hold on once. Caller, don't go anywhere. Stay right there.
Let me crank you up.
Look at
so
Chuck.
People are calling in. in. He forgot for you to call him. As it turns out, it's an important.
I think it's working. Can we hear? Hello.
I can hear you. I can hear you guys.
Oh, excellent. Hey, yes, we can. Caller, you're on the air. Sorry about that. Hello. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is John from Wisconsin. I was talking to you earlier on Facebook Messenger today.
Hey, John from Wisconsin. What's on your mind tonight, pal?
No, not much. I feel really glad that I was able to get through. I was the one that was calling the last, like, five times. So
there you go.
Hey, well, there we go.
Someone had to be the success.
Now I feel bad because I made one of your guests get up to actually.
No, he had to get up.
It wasn't you. It was the producer.
Well, here's the thing.
So let me say what I said last week.
Yeah.
I said there was we hand wrote a whole sheet of instructions. Tony followed approximately half of it.
I followed half.
Tony. Was like, shh, the count.
You know what?
You're breaking the fourth wall here. The count didn't follow directions. Shocked, I know.
I didn't count the instructions.
The count, yeah.
You're in luck, John, from Wisconsin, because Chuck doubles as our engineer, so he's the guest and our engineer.
That's why you invited me.
You're
tonight,
finding out the real reason why he's here.
And he'll be here next week as well.
From now on.
Yeah.
He's here until further notice.
On site engineer until the studio's fixed.
John, I appreciate
it. I appreciate you guys a lot. I'm really glad you're doing a show about aliens. That's really shocking, actually. I know you've mentioned them before, and you even say it in your intro, and you say lights in the sky. But, you know, obviously you're more of a paranormal show. But do you believe in, like, all the aliens, Bob? So, like, you got your grays, your reptiles, reptilians, I should say.
Oh, man.
You know, there's Nordics, there's, oh, gosh, there's a whole bunch more.
Okay, I'm going to preface this by saying there is a very good reason why we don't. In the introduction, I mentioned the lights in the sky thing. We do a lot of news on aliens and covering it, but I don't cover a lot of aliens in the long form topic because I'm not a UFOologist.
Right.
UFOologists are better equipped to talk about these sort of things than I am. However, I am equipped to talk about them, and I shouldn't be hiding the concept that I know what I'm talking about to an extent. And that and the other thing is when you get into aliens, you start really dancing into the conspiracy theory territory, which is what I've been I always try to avoid. And I always try
just like
to
Chuck.
Well, okay, here's what I was going to say is that go ahead, caller.
No, I was just going to say, you play a UFOologist on TV, though.
I do. So I that's why we're doing it. And I'm glad UFOology and aliens do fall into the realm of the paranormal. I say it all the time. We're a bowling league. I deal in ghost and cryptids mostly, but I do know my aliens. You know, true crime falls into that realm. I'm not a true crime person, but maybe someday I'll get more into that. I'm a true crime person outside the show, but we don't talk about it too much on here. However, there are crossover between the two. And tonight we're going to dive in, and this is going to probably be one of the more heated episodes we've ever had on the show. So,
wow.
Looking forward to that.
Congratulations, Luke.
I'm the moderator.
I just want to say hello to both your guests, too. And you guys seem very interesting. I can't wait to see what you guys say. And I'm actually shocked that I'd eat your John, the John that you know.
Well,
to be the first caller. I can't believe I beat him.
So hit the button. You can bring him in, too.
I could do two Johns at once.
Let's find out. Hit it.
Hold on.
See.
Let me try this.
Don't hang up on yourself.
Right here.
Go ahead.
John and John.
Let me see if this works here.
Yellow.
Yes.
Hello. Conference call.
Oh, my gosh. We have
Hey, now wait a minute. Now listen.
I didn't know
now
we could do that.
John's
How
after dark.
How is this? This John from John from Wisconsin's on the line, right?
Yes.
I can hear you. Okay, so this John from Wisconsin says he called six times. I called six times. I couldn't get through. So, Chuck, if you verify, could verify that with the count.
John, here's the problem.
I texted him about 5 minutes ago.
John, we need
a time. So time elapsed. So I just didn't text him that I called six times.
John,
So
here's the thing, John. I don't know who raised this count.
And
they never taught him how to follow directions.
Quicker than me.
So I don't know who we can blame for that one. So the count can't follow directions.
I got half the page right.
I don't know,
I
don't know who raised this count up.
I got the page right. Half the page.
Well, maybe it's the aliens screwing around with the tower.
Maybe.
Between the ghost and
exactly
the aliens.
Well, you know what? I got to admit, I didn't know you could do this. So do you have, like, callers on the morning show fight now?
They don't want this information to get out.
No, this is top secret. Only you guys get to do this.
Oh, can you imagine the morning show with this, though?
That's what I said. I'm just going to put them all on the air and just walk out.
Like a battle royale.
Yeah.
Just let them fight it out.
See who's the loudest.
You got to be ready for that censor button.
Aye, aye, aye.
Well, John, what's on your mind
tonight? We could actually have... So, Chuck, we could actually have Mad Mac and somebody else arguing at the same time on the air.
Don't encourage them.
Just don't even say that.
Don't encourage
them. Now, listen, they're calling into the wrong show tonight. If they're
I don't know nothing.
Well,
I don't know nothing, but, hey, Luke, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Luke.
Yes?
Hey, Luke.
Hello? Are you out there?
Can you hear me, Luke?
Are you out there?
Maybe we jinxed it by putting too many people
in
at the
same time.
Was my voice knocked off? You added two Johns and you lost me.
John, can you hear us?
I can hear you, but I can't hear. I'm asking about Luke.
I don't think I can hear Luke,
though.
Which
John are you talking about?
Any of the Johns. Can you hear the third? Can you hear the third guest or the second guest?
The one John said that I was an interesting guest, so you could hear me at some point.
Yeah, well, which John are you talking about?
Wait, you can hear me then.
I thought you meant the other John. See, this is why this is confusing. Now another John's going to call, and is it going to be chaos?
We have a third John now.
Do we have another third caller?
I'm John. No, we're good right now.
Okay. Wait,
can you hear Luke, John?
No, I can't hear. No,
but you responded.
I don't even know who's talking. I think I'm talking to the other John.
No, that's not the other John. You're talking to Luke.
Now we understand why you don't put everybody on at the same time.
I think we might have lost the other John.
And by the way, it's only an hour-long show.
Hey,
so
Luke.
We need to...
Yes,
hey, Luke.
John too.
John, Luke, can you hear
John? I didn't know you need this. You were skeptical about aliens. What brought this all on?
No, like I said,
I'm
very fearful of aliens, so I'm hoping that I can overcome my fear tonight. I view Chuck like a father figure,
and
I have a lot of trust in Chuck.
I don't know anything about Obama and stuff with whatever he said. But didn't Trump just last week say he wanted all this declassified?
Yes.
And get this out on the air, whether there's aliens or not.
So to be fair, though, John, so has every president for the last 50 years. President Clinton, for instance, literally his first day said, I'm going to send somebody to Area 51. And then he came back and said, they won't tell me anything. So, I mean, again, this is pretty much and pretty much every president literally in your lifetime has said, I want to find out about the aliens. And they said, Mr. President, this is need to know, and you don't need to know, with the exception of the Bushes, but that's another story for another time. But for the most part, every president has asked about it, and they've told him the exact same thing. It's need to know, and you don't need to know. And so that becomes the question, is even now we have UAP hearings in Congress, and they're being told the same thing. We can't tell you, and we have to go into a SCIF and all this stuff. Well, who's in charge then? If the president and Congress is not allowed to know about these things, then who's making that decision? And that's where we really get into the weeds about who's running the country and who's deciding who gets to know about aliens and who doesn't.
Well, Chuck, who's blocking?
Okay, so what do you think about? So what do you think about that? Then, yeah, that's a good point. If the president and Congress can't, tell the federal, I mean, they're the boss of the federal, then who can? And why is it such a big secret?
And that's why
your opinion,
right? No, and I mean, that's the thing is we have several members of Congress that are saying, you know, that's not how this works. You don't get to tell us. You're a bureaucrat. You don't get to tell the elected officials. We don't need to know. And they've been going back and forth about this with the UAP hearings for several years now.
2022.
And if you ever watch these hearings, it's really interesting because they bring in people, members of the Navy, legitimate people. Mm-hmm. And they all get stonewalled. And it's an amazing thing to see it because it really makes you question who's in charge at that point.
Well, what do you mean they get stoned?
People who have actual knowledge that the possibility of aliens exist are being denied by people in Congress because they don't want to hear the
right.
The
so so this
truth.
this goes back to the origin story of the conspiracy going all the way back to Roswell is the idea. I was watching a show earlier, and there's a guy that's got a documentary coming out, and he talks about the idea that this is actually basically another space race. So you've got the three countries, the United States, Russia, and China, all retrieving craft. And all trying to reverse engineer it. So this is a filmmaker, Dan Farrar. He was on a Bill Maher not too long ago, and he's doing a documentary about this. And basically the idea is there's two things happening. The one is that our government historically since Roswell has tried to say, well, if you saw craft, if you saw anything, they try to delegitimize you. I mean, even police officers, pilots, anybody that came out and said, hey, I saw something, they would try to basically ruin your life in a lot of cases. And so this idea of they made it a stigma to talk about aliens, but then in the back, they're trying to, going back to Roswell and other famous crashes, they're trying to deconstruct and figure out the technology. So that becomes the conspiracy, is are they doing it because they don't think Americans can handle it? Or is there the secret second Cold War happening and whoever, you know, reverse engineers the technology first is going to win? And that's sort of the conspiracy, that this is much bigger than just, you know, lights in the sky. This is about, you know, actual, you know, global politics kind of thing.
So do you personally think that there are aliens?
Stick around and find out, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then, well, real quickly then, hey, Luke, if let's say there is some declassification, let's say that they say there are aliens. So what would your reaction be when you heard that, if you hear that news, being that you're fearful of them?
Well, I wouldn't be shocked. And I wouldn't really be afraid, because, I mean, if that information's already out there, then obviously they aren't roaming the streets, at least not in a very visible way. They wouldn't be that much of a threat. It seems like they're under control. But it just wouldn't be a shock to me, because I feel like we have such a vast universe already that the fact that there wouldn't be life would be more shocking than the fact that there is non-human life. Extraterrestrial.
But here's the other interesting question, is because of the way things are in this country, I always say, if a president, regardless of politics, came out and said, hey, I've got proof of aliens, half this country wouldn't believe him anyway, right? So, I mean, that's sort of an interesting thing even like what happened earlier tonight. You know, half this country isn't going to believe whatever he says. So that becomes another problem, is now you have this legitimacy problem. So, again, I think it's bigger than it has to be bigger than one man. It can't be, well, President Trump or President Obama. I mean, it needs to be this bipartisan sort of coming together, which that's not going to happen in any case under any circumstances, short of like an Independence Day scenario. And that's what they keep saying, is like, short of that scenario where all of us have to come together like an Independence Day, short of that, we're not going to agree on anything. And that's sort of the problem.
Bob?
Yeah. Who was the president that said that?
We still have Bolt Johns on. I'm hearing voices in my head.
Now go ahead. Let the callers. We all stepped
on it. Okay, that's very interesting. You know what? I'll let you guys go for other callers, and I'll keep listening. And thanks for being on it.
Thanks for calling in, John. We appreciate you.
All right. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm going to drop both Johns there.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. John from Wisconsin. John from the region. Also on YouTube, a couple people chiming in. Dad Bod Walkin'.
Hey.
Uh-oh. How did he find this chat room?
He says, odd phone conversation. I think he's referring to John's calling in. But he also says, whoever is the producer tonight, save that camera position.
Oh, he likes
camera position. Right,
well, there. And again, that's Bob before dusk.
Before dusk there. Also, Vixis chiming in. She has some messages here. Let's see. She's got a lot of good questions. I know you can't see that, Bob, on your end.
No,
right?
I can't. So yeah. You'll have to
comments
relate.
On Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge.
DeLonge. Tom DeLonge of Blink-182. Alien Disclosure. With Alien Disclosure. Comments about him and Alien Disclosure.
Oh, man. He was one of the celebrities that testified not that long ago. He was at the congressional hearing, and he's been one of the, like, speeding forces behind trying to release this information. I'm not sure where Tom stands on current President Donald Trump releasing the alien information. I'm sure he's ecstatic, because this is just confirming further what his research and all of his beliefs are true too. So that's my answer on the Tom DeLonge thing. Big fan.
But
so.
let me correct you a little bit, though, because remember, going back to the branches of government, is that the president is asking the three-letter agencies, NSA, CIA, and the four-letter agency of NASA, and et cetera, to release what they have. But again, that goes back to that stonewalling of the executive branch of he could say, hey, release those files, and they can say, well, make us. Yeah. Right. I mean, and that's the thing, is that there's really no mechanism. So, I mean, again, there's, you know, legal, is he going to go to the Supreme Court and say, I demand that I get these files? Could they say, well, here's 10,000 pages, take it or leave it? I mean, again, you look at anything, like even look at, you know, like same thing's been happening with the JFK files. There's still lots of stuff that hasn't come out. And, you know, he said he was going to release it. And so there's this idea of you have the executive branch saying, hey, I want those files. And they go, well, we'll give you what we feel like giving you, or we'll redact it and give you what we feel like. And that becomes the big question, is what, there's really no mechanism, like, short of, you know, now are you really going to get into this big battle in Washington just to try to get these files? And that's sort of the thing they know. They're like, we just have to wait you out. You know, you put in a request, we go, give us 6 months. And then you go, well, here's what we got. I mean, he's only there for a few more years, right? I mean, again, this isn't, they know they're going to outlast this guy and the next guy and the next guy. And that's kind of the point, is they know we can outlast this guy and the next guy will come in and we'll tell him we already did that, you know?
But that goes just to what you said earlier about it needs to be the congressional, and it needs to be the legislative branch that needs to step in with bipartisan support, because that can override the executive long-lasting, too. So it's not even just a 3.5-4 year wait.
Right.
It's a more longer-lasting.
But again, you need both sides to come together and agree, which they're not going to do on anything, and that's the problem. We need them to agree to say, we're going to follow this through, regardless of who's in control, regardless of what name's in charge. We are going to see this through to the end, and that's what we really, that's the only way this is going to work.
I want to point out one thing, folks. Long-term listeners of the show are probably very confused why we're using the term bipartisan on Bob After Dark.
Well, everybody needs to get along. How about that?
That's fair.
We all just need to get along.
We have another caller.
We do. Let's see if this
okay,
works.
Okay, let's see if it works. Caller, you're on, hopefully, the air.
Hey, caller.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Is this bargain bonanza or what?
I have one birdcage for sale, $5. See, I'm the only one in the room.
Right there you go.
I'm the only one in the room old enough to get that joke. I'm the only one in the room old enough to get that joke, by the way. I was there for Bargain Bonanza.
Yeah, this is Bill from EC.
Hey, Bill from EC. Yeah. How's it going? Long time no talk, Bill.
Well, I didn't know you guys were on until last week. I caught half of your show, so...
Hopefully the good half.
And I knew you guys were on, but... It's an interesting discussion, but doesn't this, the alien thing, doesn't this go back to Eisenhower?
So this, I would say this really started with Roswell, but again, like, you know, so there are all kinds of interesting stories, you know, so like Jimmy Carter, for instance, saw, was it Jimmy Carter that saw a UFO?
Yes.
There was a story with Richard Nixon and Jackie Gleason. Do you know this story?
I do not.
Oh, this is a fun story. I'll have to tell it to you. So, I mean, there is a long history of presidents and aliens. I mean, again, this is nothing new, but yeah, going back to your point about Eisenhower and even Kennedy and things like that, you could really get into the, I was watching something the other day where they were blaming aliens for JFK's assassination. So, I mean, you could really get into the weeds on these stories about how they're related and, you know, again, but that goes back to the idea that if something happened in Roswell or in that time frame and they recovered a craft, the military industrial complex took hold of it. And this isn't new. This is something even recently we hear stories about, you know, a craft crashing in, you know, Bolivia or something. And all of a sudden black helicopters show up and pick it up. Right. So, I mean, again, this is nothing new. And if you believe this idea that it's sort of a new space race where you've got multiple countries trying to reverse engineer, it makes perfect sense that they wouldn't want anybody to know. And also, you know, if you know your American history about developing the atomic bomb, or, you know, stealth technology, they're very good. They've been very good about keeping secrets, right? This whole idea about compartmentalization and keeping it from the public, which is both a blessing and a curse. And in one way, you keep it secret. Another way, imagine the idea that you have alien technology, but only a handful of people, like the Bob Lazars of the world,
yes,
are the only ones that are allowed to see it. You don't, MIT doesn't get to borrow a piece of spacecraft and test it, right? So, I mean, again, it's like you're shutting out some of the most brilliant minds in the world because you want to keep it a secret. So it's an interesting thing. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, is this Chuck I'm talking to?
It is,
sir.
Chuck stayed up late tonight.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay, well, I enjoy your work on WGLB. Oh,
thank you.
But I mean, there's got to
somebody.
Yeah, why? Well, yeah, I listen. I've been listening for a long time.
You've been listening from 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Yeah, well, there's got to be something because you mentioned these airline pilots. They see this or these lights, and then after that, you never hear from them,
right?
You know, anymore. So.
Well, even the incident with the as we call them the Tic Tac UFOs. I mean, multiple Navy ships picked them up on radar. We have images from a fighter jet, legitimate footage that's never been debunked of this thing. And again, so think about it from a military perspective, is you have this craft that you can't identify. Is it, is it a Chinese drone? Is it alien technology? This thing can go, tens of thousands of feet in seconds. Something that, you can't even track this thing, let alone you couldn't fight it, right? And I mean, right. I think that's part of the problem is our military doesn't want to come out and say, hey, there's this thing. We don't know what they are. We don't know how, we can't track them. We can't fight them. We pretty much are at their mercy, right? I mean, right. I think that's what our government, that's been, the strongest nation, strongest military for decades now, arguably since World War II, they don't want to come out and say, hey, we're not the strongest. There's these craft that can easily defeat our defenses. They can shut down our nuclear power plants and yes. all kinds of things. So, I mean, I think a lot of that is just our American government doesn't want to come out and say, hey, we don't know what this is, and we don't know how to fight it if we needed to.
They don't want to say that the aliens are the strongest. Well,
aliens.
Yeah, well, I can see the point. You don't want to start a panic either. Not panic, panic.
A panic.
Hey! Yeah.
I got that. Okay, all right. Well, listen, I'm gonna no because I ran into John, the other one from me, the region at a restaurant, and I was asking him how come you guys were not. So he explained to me
hiatus. Yeah.
Well, it was a season break, but now we're back for season two after it only took us 7 years, but we got it. Hey,
thank you, Bill, for chiming
in. Bill, we appreciate the call.
Okay, you guys take care.
Take care, Bill.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, Bill. Also, chiming in to the YouTubes.
Yes.
Vixen says, can we have Chuck on every month for alien time?
I have to ask my wife.
That could be a segment.
She's like, are you zooming in? I go, no, I'm going to the studio. What's past your bedtime?
Bring her with you next time. She'll be on the show, too.
Bring them out. Like, come on. Let's bring everybody in.
Well, and again, so this is the thing. So, my wheelhouse is politics. And I know Bob's always like, you don't want to get mixed up in that. And I don't blame any of you for not wanting to. But again, this is that one topic that you and I have a good crossover.
Yes.
Because the story of UFOs in, since going back to Roswell for the last, almost 100 years is a story about a government cover up going, X-Files, Majestic 12, Project Blue Book. I mean, the story of aliens is the story of a government cover up. This and that's sort of the thing is like at this point, the government cover up to me is a bigger story than the aliens. Right. I mean, again, for me, as somebody who talks about government spending and things like that, how many billions of dollars have we spent hiding this? How many billions and maybe trillions have we spent trying to reverse engineer this technology under
yes.
black budget projects? And again, what are we, the taxpayers going to see from this?
We also have Dad Bod walking saying, because the presidents are the lizard people, but really, I completely buy the ancient alien theories. So Dad Bod walking, Bob.
Right.
There,
I mean, go ahead.
Also, Wind Storm wants to ask, Chuck, do you know the story about Betty and Barney Hill?
Right. Yes. And again, perfect example of people that have been, they basically ruined their life. There are people and
well, what I is think, the story about that?
Well, I got a couple stories. I was going to do
the Hill story is an episode all its own.
Oh, okay.
I will put a pin in that. Maybe we will revisit that next week or the week fall.
Why don't we do it in a month or so?
Yeah, we'll do it in a month because that one's a.
But how about we do a whole episode about these, I mean, I think was that was also an incident where there was a police officer that saw it. I mean, again, like he literally lost his career. People have lost their lives, taken their lives because the ridicule from this. So again, I mean, that's sort of the thing, the stigma of seeing it. Even going back to, like President Carter and stuff like that, it's like there are so many people that are afraid. They tell pilots. I've heard pilots talk about, you can hear there's these guys that watch radars and they listen to air traffic control all day long. Pilots see stuff and the ATC, the air traffic control, some, no, you didn't see anything. Don't say anything. They literally tell them, we all see it. I know people that worked at O'Hare. O'Hare had some famous UFO incidents back in the, like the 70s. They just said, no, don't say anything because you will get grounded if you do. So that's a crazy thing that there are people that, again, a pilot should have, you know, a lot of these guys, former military, former Navy, and they have good eyes. They're trained to spot things and they tell them, no, you didn't see it. You know what I mean? And that's the stigma that comes along with seeing a UFO.
I would agree. Count, what's going on over there?
Just make it. Well, that's the last one that was there. So, okay. Yeah.
So you want to talk? Do you want to talk about the Jackie Gleason story?
Yes, I would love to hear.
So this is really interesting, and this goes back to, in a way, hearing this story. I said, now I understand why they would. This is like an argument for not telling the president. Okay, so you know Jackie Gleason. Everybody knows Jackie Gleason. Bang zoom right to the moon, and Smokey and the Bandit. So he was out golfing with President Nixon in 1974, as you tend to do, you go golfing with the president. This was actually in the middle of right before, you know, right on the time of Watergate, right before it. So they're out golfing, and then, you know, as you do, you go out drinking afterwards.
Of course.
Jackie Gleason drinking putting a few back with President Nixon, who then says, he starts asking me the same question any of us, like Jaden Smith asked, Barack Obama. Hey, what about the aliens? And of course, Nixon, after having a few, says, you want to see them?
I never heard this before? This is brilliant.
So the story goes that President Nixon takes Jackie Gleason unannounced in an unmarked car to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida. I think I'm trying to think if that was the home of the Blue Angels. But basically, he takes them to a base, just walks in. Hey, everybody, President Nixon here. Jackie Gleason, you know him from, you know, the Honeymooners. Like, yeah, sure thing, sir. They walk in and he shows Jackie Gleason a lab with grays. He says they were in tubes. I guess like preserved, you know what I mean? Like you
like
would
a
see
cryo chamber, like
well, no, like a, like you would see,
like in a tank or you something,
know, like in a lab, right? In a tank. So he said, so he just takes them there, and then Jackie Gleason goes home, and Jackie Gleason said he swore an oath never to talk about it. They're good friends, and then his wife comes out years later, and again, there's like a whole thing. They're getting a divorce, and obviously Nixon's going through Watergate, but his wife kind of came out and said, you know, Jackie comes home, he was all distraught, couldn't sleep, and finally he says, the president took me to see aliens at this Air Force base, and it, you know, it really messed him up for a while because you're like one of the few people in the country that knows there are aliens and you can't say anything about it. So she said, she's like, I believe him. I thought it, you know, it seemed, he seemed real about it. He was distraught about it. So, I mean, imagine that, like you're just sitting there, you're like guarding the base one night and the president pulls up an old Cadillac. It's like, hey, I got Jackie Gleason here. We're gonna go look at the aliens. But again, that goes to the point is imagine if the president knew about it, like this current president, previous presidents, where it's like, hey, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to have $100,000 plate fundraiser, and you can come hang out with me at Area 51 and meet some aliens. You know what I mean? Like how many politicians would take advantage of that and go, hey, you write a big enough check, I'll take you to Area 51.
That would be my the Bob After Dark GoFundMe. That'd be,
you know, but
then you're going to get political.
But honestly, I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, there's people that write big checks in presidential campaigns. Is like, hey, I'll write you a big check to help you win, but if you do, we're taking a Janet flight to Area 51. So I mean, again, there's that's a valid reason why not to tell people like a president who's only there for 4 or 8 years about aliens, because he's in and out and he could use that, you know. So again, that's a valid reason to not tell somebody.
I thought that you were going to venture in and say that Watergate happened because the military-industrial complex then took down Nixon because he talked about aliens.
So as it turns,
see,
no,
got
hang
that.
On. As it turns out,
ooh, thinks the degree in the room just went up 3 degrees.
As it turns out, you may not be far off. And again, I'm not an expert in that. But again, there's a lot of questions about, well, again, not related to the aliens, but Watergate in general. So again, there's all these things about, you know, all these conspiracies throughout history. But again, you know, it's like there's something there. So I'll just leave it at that. I'm not an expert on that, but you're not far off.
You're believing that interview, though. That Obama interview they had, didn't he say they're not at Area? Or is that just throwing?
He said they're not at Area 51.
He said they're not at Area 51, and if they were, it would be the biggest conspiracy in the world because they hid it from the president of the United States.
Well, and what did Bob Lazar call it? Like S5 or something like that?
Yes.
So I mean, again, it's sort of like that thing. He's like, what would I do if everybody finds out about Area 51? I'm like, that's fine. Just we're moving to Area 52. Like, that's that you're right. And you're not lying. You're like, no, they're not at Area 51. They're down the street at Area 52. That's
a few years ago, we were supposed to storm it. They couldn't stop us all.
Right. They couldn't. There's a great documentary about that, by the way. But that's an interesting thing because they kept pushing people further and further back from seeing Area 51. But if the whole world's looking at Area 51 for aliens, you go put them like in Ohio somewhere, mm-hmm. right? You go drop them at Wright-Patterson, like, because people have said they're in Florida, they're in Wright-Patterson. Or, you know, they're in Virginia or something. Because everybody's looking at Area 51. It's like, oh, go ahead. Go keep looking over there. There's nothing there.
It's the perfect decoy. Old,
right.
Couch or something like
that. Go put them in couch.
Yeah.
Chuck, I wanted to talk to you specifically because this is 1,000% your wheelhouse. When the initial conversations of the declassified info come up, the world market reacts.
Right. And what, you know, what was interesting? I had a pastor on with me a few months ago. We talked about this during the UAP hearings, because one of the things that came up was they said that if we reveal the existence of aliens or UFOs or aliens, that aliens exist, it will make people question religion and it would be disastrous for religion. I asked him point blank. I said, what do you think? He said, that's ridiculous. And then we started talking about Nephilim and the Book of Enoch. And then he's like, okay, now you're going too far for me. But again, even that idea about aliens in the Bible, you know, right. I mean, again, it's not that there's relationships there. Are we descendants of the Nephilim and all that sort of stuff? So, you know, there's a case for that. You go back to all these things, the Younger Dryas, the great floods, the, you know, are we the descendants of aliens? I mean, all these things are biblical. So to hit, you know, that was our discussion. He said, no, I don't. He said, I'm as interested in space as anybody else, just like the president said. And so why not? So that again, that's sort of debunking that. I don't think anybody would stop going to church because there's aliens, right? I mean,
no, I was referring to the stock market.
No, well, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So that would, so okay,
because that was the, when you sent me over the link and you were like, things are getting weird.
Well, even like Bitcoin crash and stuff like that. So that becomes a question of, if you do this, will so it okay. If you do this, what are the ramifications? Could it affect the stock market? Could people say, because again, you have a stock market that, you know, our whole economy revolves around Wall Street, and you have all of these military and, you know, all the military industrial stocks. And, you know, that's an interesting question of, would it affect the market? Just like, would it affect going to church? There are a lot of people that say, coming out and, you know, proving that they're aliens would make people say, well, why bother? There's a whole conspiracy about the aliens are trying to give us free energy. You know, just like Nikola Tesla and things like that. It's like, if they give us free energy, would that crash the oil markets? You know, we got a refinery right up the street. We wouldn't need their refinery anymore. You know, if they brought us the right tech, we wouldn't need steel mills. What would that do to our local economy if we didn't need oil and steel anymore? Because you can just grow graphene or something. You know what I mean? So that becomes these legitimate questions about, if they brought us free energy, and we don't have a NIPSCO bill anymore. Hey. We don't have, well, right. I mean, again, but that would
aliens be... Aliens going to overtake NIPSCO?
Right. There you go.
This is the first time on Bob After Dark you're going to hear the word NIPSCO. NIPSCO's our local energy reliant company.
Call it what your thoughts on NIPSCO.
That a lot of people aren't happy with because of an increase. But again, what that becomes the question. What would that do to our economy if all of a sudden we didn't need oil anymore, right? I mean, that's an entire, the Texas and places like that, tens of thousands of people would be out of jobs. So, or if they gave us, you know, transport technology, we would no longer need airports, right? I mean, they could come in and give us one technology that would revolutionize how the world works, but also, you know, there are consequences. So that may be a lot of what we're seeing is like, hey, the aliens want to show up and give us all this free stuff, but it would just derail our economy. And right at the end of the day, that's what runs this country is Wall Street and Washington.
So with that, I want to jump off and ask both of you two then, do you view aliens that they're more friendly or they're more hostile, like versus a Roger from American Dad or like versus an Independence Day?
Or why not both?
Why not? My answer is why not both?
Like people? Like good, bad people?
I think we are assuming that if an alien is real, and that I am going to be the first person to tell you that, yes, I believe that we are not alone in this universe because the thought of us being alone and infinite is kind of strange. If they exist, my assumption is that the psychology behind them wouldn't be much different than us. Maybe they have determined the fact that, like, war isn't necessary, but I highly doubt it. As long as you have two things that exist and they have two separate beliefs of identity, which I'm assuming maybe they've evolved past the concept of identity and they're, you know, a hive mind. I don't know. If that's the case, then I'm going to assume you're going to have hostile aliens, you're going to have friendlies. And if you think of that, it's like, well, there's no such thing as a hostile alien. Well, how do you explain abductions and not the happy-go-lucky ones where it's like, hey, they sent me up into space and I got to hang out with them on the spaceship, and the scary abduction kind, like the Hill story.
Well, most importantly, though, it is 10 o'clock. You're listening to AM 1230, 104.7 FM. Are we doing traffic and weather? Or are we just going straight back into it?
So currently the traffic isn't bad because it's 10 o'clock p.m.
And the weather is, it's cold. Okay, so, but again, that, you know, what if the aliens are like traveling salesmen? They show up, they just show up and knock at your door like, hey, we're going to sell you some free energy. You know what I mean? Like, they could just show up and like sell us stuff. You know what I mean? Like try to sell us insurance.
Do you think aliens need the concept of currency
or markets? I mean, why not? Why not?
The alien stock market.
How expensive do you think building like Death Stars and stuff are? Like those things aren't cheap, especially if they keep blowing them up. Like eventually they're going to drop your insurance and you're going to have to like self finance. I mean, again, like, you know, that's not cheap stuff.
Careful, Chuck. The existence of humans to aliens is going to drop the alien Dow about 100 points.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But again, you know, we very well could be
by
like,
the dip.
We very well could be we could be a reality show, just like on South Park. You know what I mean? You know, who knows?
Chuck's going to buy the alien dip.
So what do you guys do here? Do you want to? You guys keep going? You take a break?
We're gonna wrap it up here in just
okay.
Because
I, you know what? Before you do though, I wanted to say one other thing. You know what's interesting? Do you know what today is?
Today is Monday, or today is Tuesday.
The 20th, Bob, at the dark on Tuesday. Today is, I realized this earlier, today is the anniversary of the Battle of Los Angeles. Anybody know the Battle of Los Angeles?
The movie?
No, not the bad movie. The real Battle of Los Angeles.
Well,
so this is a very interesting possible UFO story.
I think I've heard of it.
Well, I have it right here. Do you know it?
The battle? No.
Okay, so this is an interesting story. And again, this goes, so, this is right after, so this is 1942. So this is, February of 1942. We're a couple of months after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So the country's on edge. We've got guns, you know, pointed at the sky all over the country. And the day before, a Japanese sub surfaced, right outside in California, on the shore of California, and shot at an oil field. So on February 24th, they're on high alert. They're watching the skies. And then later in the evening, radar picks up something. We'll just call it a UFO. It picks up something flying over Los Angeles. And of course, the military comes and they go, oh, well, it's clearly the Japanese. They're coming. And so they're on high alert. They're watching the skies later in the evening. So about 3 a.m, a flare is spotted over Santa Monica. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Gun batteries, anti-aircraft barriers, batteries all over Los Angeles. They see something and they do what Americans and people generally do. Hey, there's a UFO. Let's shoot it. And so we fired 1,400 rounds of anti-aircraft at the, I don't know what we call them, not bullets, but just anti-aircraft fire at something over Los Angeles. And for 3 hours, they were just shooting at this thing and nobody, and people were claiming they saw a disc. So again, it's like, maybe the aliens came to visit us in 1942. They're like, look, you guys are fighting. We're going to come down. We're going to help you guys sort things out. And then we just shot at them for like 3 hours. Like, what
are you, friendly, again, very so, hospital. So that's, a, welcome.
That's the human way though.
But that's again, so that's the human way is like, hey, aliens were trying to land one day and we just like, they're looking for a parking spot. And all of a sudden we start shooting at them over, they're like, hey, Los Angeles, we heard of that place. We're going to go, you know, check it out. And we start
shooting. They're coming to Hollywood.
But unfortunately, and actually, so this story did not have a happy ending because 5 civilians died because of this. 3 people died in traffic accidents and 2 people had heart attacks. So this, again, weird thing where, you know, we're all on edge. You know, the Pearl Harbor was just attacked. Everybody's watching the skies and all of a sudden they see something and then they just start shooting at it for 3 hours. So well, that kind the Battle of Los Angeles.
I'm wondering from the Luke's point of saying good and bad. I mean, honestly, though, an alien lands, right?
You see if we ship, don't shoot at
you're
it.
You're by yourself. The ship lands. You see an alien get out. I mean, what do you do at
that
point?
Do you pump the shotgun or do you like let him in your house?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and that becomes a question. Again, going back to like War of the Worlds and stuff. I mean, look at what War of the Worlds just saying that a spacecraft was landing in New Jersey caused chaos all over the country. So to that point, like, yeah, maybe we, you know, back then we weren't able to handle it. There's a lot of people that talk about even, you know, all the alien movies in the 80s, E.T., Starman, all that stuff was basically a psyop to prepare us for the possibility of aliens. And I know Tony and I think we're on the radio, we joked about during the pandemic, you know, it's like, what could possibly, how could things possibly get worse? And then they're like, oh, by the way, there's aliens. Here's the Tic Tac video. You know what I mean? It's like, because we figured we wouldn't care at that point because we're so busy buying toilet paper that they're like, oh, by the way, there's aliens. And then we're like, okay, cool. We're going back to watch Tiger King, you know.
Real quick before you jump to the end here. So with the Battle of Los Angeles and then with War of the Worlds, was there a government response, more so for War of the Worlds, was there a government response or was it just civilian chaos?
No, well, and I don't recall. I mean, you have to assume that there were a lot of people, a lot of, you know, civil defense and stuff like that were on edge. I mean, it was nothing like Battle of Los Angeles.
Because I wonder if the government were to think that, oh, shoot, it's aliens. Should we cover this up? Or if they joined in and were like, okay, we're ready to defend this because...
Well, and that becomes an interesting question. I mean, again, going back to Battle of Los Angeles, we know what happens if you have guns pointed at the sky and you see a UFO, they're going to start shooting at it. But even now with the technology we have, that goes back to the question of, you know, we know that our Navy ships, going back to the Tic Tac UFO, can track it. But if this thing can go, you know, 100 miles in a second and go 50,000 feet in a second, we can't shoot it down. We couldn't really do anything to it. But also it's like, if I'm an alien, do I want to find out the hard way if these hairless apes can shoot me down or not? It's like, you know, or the question is maybe they're, you know, really a lot of these things are like probes. They're just sending them down to see what we do. Just kind of like, you know, think about this. Think about if the hierarchy of things. I was thinking about, you know, there's these tribes like in the Amazon. You ever see these pictures of the tribes that they've never seen humans before besides themselves? Like we flew an aircraft. They flew like a Cessna over this tribe. And what did they do? They all threw spears at it. And there's a bunch of spears stuck in the Cessna when it came back to land. So this idea of, you know, what their reaction to our technology is probably the same that our, you know, we would have today. You know, what would happen? Again, going back to even like the movie War Games or something. You know, a UFO tries to land in Washington. All of a sudden, we're going to DEFCON 1 and nuclear missiles are, you know, getting ready and stuff like that. Like it could very well go bad for everybody, you know. So that becomes a question is, I'm the last person to say that to justify government's decisions on things like hiding things from us. But, there's a valid reason why they probably are trying to keep this from us. And like the War of the Worlds is a perfect example of what happens if they go, oh, by the way, there's an alien landing in New Jersey, you know, all hell broke loose.
Yes. Calum, what's your take on all of this?
Bob, if they show up, I'm coming here because we're safe. I feel like we're in a little spaceship right now, aren't we?
We don't have any windows, though. We would just be like, people will be calling us in, and he'd be hanging up on everybody, going, people are trying to call in, and he's like, I don't know how the phones work.
The aliens might have been trying to reach us.
A guy named Al E.N. was calling in.
Al E.N. But is this what should we make a pack if aliens invade? This is where we should come to broadcast.
Look, if anything bad happens, I'm getting a cigar. I'm coming here live on the radio. We're gonna drink and see how it. We're gonna go down to the Winchester, have a pint, and see how this all blows over. Go down to WJOB and have a pint and see if this goes over.
That's my answer is to come here and I got to broadcast the alien invasion. It's my job.
Yeah. You're gonna be the hero of the day. Your magnum opus.
You can get the interview.
My Corpus Christi.
Your Corpus Christi.
My magnum opus. Call it the Corpus Christi.
I don't know. I call it that.
You did. You called it
the Krispy Kreme.
Remember that time you called the Fading Peninsula and someone was giving you, like, someone legitimately wrote me an email about it. This was our Glitches in the Matrix episode. This was years ago. Yeah. And you legitimately called something like, yeah, but what about the Fading Peninsula? What are you talking about?
Geez, what did I say? Yeah.
Get me wrong. I've said my fair share of nonsense over the years. Easter Island Massacre. For one. So usually what I do when we
explain it, but you know.
We usually round up the episode. Luke, you're a first timer here on Bob After Dark, so we'll have you go first. I always end the show with making my guests do a quip or a piece of advice, a riddle, a joke, a something.
Don't be afraid.
Oh, that's good.
Be not afraid if you're Catholic.
Now, Chuck, do you buy the dip?
Taxation? If there are aliens, buy the dip. Don't shoot at the aliens, no matter. I remember even like an Independence Day, they're like, whatever you do, don't shoot at the aliens. Like, please don't. You're going to trigger a war.
Aliens pay taxes.
Yes.
If you look at Mars,
if
you look at Mars attacks, it was the dove that set them off. It wasn't us attacking.
Well, that's true. Let me get one political bite in here. Then here's
it's okay.
Aliens land, I will go to them and say, "What's your tax rate? How high are your taxes? Are you building any stadiums that I need to pay for, or bike bridges, or do you have any trains?
Flying saucer trails?
Like, how much am I? What's your tax rate? And I'll consider it. Like, hey, look, I can fix phone lines. I can fix studio. Like, I don't know if you guys broadcast.
You'll be the maintenance guy.
I get the alien remote. Maintenance guy. Like, but I need to know your tax rate first. That'd be my only question. It's like, what's your tax rate?
And they turn you and say, what's taxes?
And I go, I just sold.
I'll become one of you. Abduct me now.
Let me pack my Svengoolie shirts and I'll be on the way. Let me go get my Svengoolie shirts and my Bucky shirts and my Waffle House. You guys have coffee. Like, I'm going to bring some coffee with me. If you replicate that, we're good. Like, I need coffee, donuts, and no taxes. I'm sold. Take me anywhere. My wife will get a phone call. Like, where are you? Alpha, send something. I'm far away.
Three galaxies away.
Their big thing is taxation is theft, and I just left. Count, what's your closing words for the evening?
The truth is out there.
The truth is, I want to believe.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think it's past I want to. It's just I think I have to.
How can you not believe? Really, at this point,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the thing.
Count, I forgot. Don't you have a tattoo relating to aliens?
I do. Well, it's a pierogi alien hybrid. I don't know if I can take my pants off.
Oh, let's not do this.
Please.
We'll take your word for it.
Listen, I want you to know that 90% of the female fan base just jumped. They're like, yeah, can't you show us that tattoo.
The Bob After Dark.
The Bob After Dark. Yeah. All right, folks. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of myself and Count Panic, we just want to say goodnight to all of you. Mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing in the TIFF. No matter where you are, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.